Okay, so today's article we're going to read from is the JC. I think this is like some either European news, J stands for Jewish, I guess Chronicle. JC is Jewish Chronicle. There's an article from February. Chief Rabbi opens first purpose-built synagogue in Arab world in 100 years. The Abrahamic Family House is a complex serving as a powerful platform for inspiring and nurturing understanding and acceptance between people of goodwill. I hope it does. Abu Dhabi's. So what do they do? What's the ceremony to inaugurate a new shul, first shul in 100 years in Abu Dhabi, in Arab countries, says, so here, let's see if we can read, even pictures some of here. Chief Rabbi Mervis, Chief Rabbi of EU, was among those invited to take part in the inauguration ceremony, which was attaching the building's very first mezuzah to the wall. Now, you guys precipitated this topic last week when there was a little bit of a fight after the shir. Does a shul need a mezuzah or not? So I ask you the question now. We'll make a chabur out of it. Does a shul need a mezuzah or not? Now, what does our shul have? I don't remember. I have to go back up and check. So let's do the main sanctuary. Does the main sanctuary have a mezuzah or not? I don't remember. I don't think it does, right? Okay. Does this room have a mezuzah?
Yes.
Okay. Does the base medrash have a mezuzah?
Not sure.
I don't think it does. Right?
The front of the building, I think.
Front of the building does. New? So what do you say? Mezuzah or no mezuzah?
Does it go down to the first week, the purpose of mezuzah? There's two different
purposes. Oh, maybe the purpose is. Okay, I hear you.
Maybe this one.
I don't think
front of the shul has. Front of the shul, those big doors, I don't think they have. Huh? Yeah, but I don't think the big doors have in the front.
They don't.
Okay. No? Should they have a mezuzah or should they not have a mezuzah?
Obviously not.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Unless you heard from Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld Zatzal by his mouth that was intentional, could have been that Rabbi Schoenfeld wasn't involved in the construction of the doors. And whoever put it up just, I don't know. Rabbi Holzer, I don't know. So we have to find out. Should they have a door? So I don't know. Everyone may have to pull out their wallets at the end of this shiur and donate. This may get a little bit serious. Okay. So the Gemara in Yuma has a discussion about tzaras. Connects it to mezuzahs. Why? Because both tzaras and mezuzahs have one word which are the same. No? I talk about the word beisicha, your house. Or negash or babayis, a house which has a nega, mezuzah has a nega. A house has a tzaras, or a house can have a mezuzah. Says the Gemara, listen to this. And again, this is a long Gemara, I'm skimming up them, I'm getting to the main points here, but it's a little bit out of context. Says the Gemara, beis kineses sheyesh babayis dira lechazin. A shul which has a room where the chazan resides. Do we have a room where the chazan resides?
We have a room.
We have a room where Eddie resided for many, many years. I remember him a little bit, but Eddie was more my time, yeah? I just remember there was a dog. That was a scary dog. That's all I remember as a kid, being afraid of that dog. But so you have a base Knesset Sheish Badira. So a shul which has a dira, it says for the chazan at Knesset, for the sexton, the whatever it is, slash executive director, doesn't mean the guy who's singing so much, I don't think. Chazan at Knesset, chayav b'mezuzah. You're chayav b'mezuzah. So in other words, a shul that has a living quarters requires a mezuzah. Where? It doesn't say that.
It says the shul.
Probably the door near the court.
It doesn't say that.
Except for it says the shul needs mezuzah.
Right. It's very weird. You're going to see. V'she'en ba beis dira, if it doesn't have a living quarter, okay, it's a machlokas. Remeir says you're chayav, chachamim say you are potter. And the reason why, because it says, amazos beis secha, your house, v'lo Babayis, I'm going back early in the Gemara, because the Gemara is a little bit disjointed over here. Lo Babayis Hashutvin, and not a house which is jointly owned. Now a shul,
jointly owned.
I mean, we all own it by paying membership, or National Council actually owns it. That's a separate discussion. Could talk about that offline here. But who actually owns the shul gets very murky, no? But we have rules that we're required to keep them, no? So who's considered ownership? I don't know.
Rabbi Olbam Shul, which he owns.
Oh.
He has a mezuzah on that front.
Okay, so I was going to pick on Rabbi Eliezer because it's my area of the neighborhood. But yes, Rabbi Olbam, we have the same problem.
But he has a mezuzah at the entrance to the...
So this is the question. So you're jumping, Rabbi. But first, let's keep it clean. Let's keep it easy and easy. Easy as we can. You got a regular shul, which is jointly owned. We'll make believe. I don't know if this is legally correct. We could look at the charter and everything. Let's assume everyone here owns a part of the shul. You're a paying membership, so you have a vote, your own ownership. I don't know if it's a non-for-profit, whatever it is. It's you have an ownership interest in this LLC, perhaps, or whatever it is, whatever corporation we've set it up, a non-for-profit, and therefore you have an ownership. So since we all jointly own it, it's not called Besicha. It's not your house. It's our house. Our house, Pasuk doesn't say, needs a mezuzah.
So, could the Chachamim say that it's permitted to put one up?
So, interesting. So, the Chachamim, they say you're pater. What that would mean, that gets into our shiur 2 weeks ago. If a place is pater, are you allowed to put up a mezuzah? So, let's assume for argument's sake that if it's a machlokas, you would, which it is in the Gemara, you would be allowed to put up, but you would not make a bracha, which we're going to talk about.
So you have them.
But correct. But here there's an opinion in the Gemara which says you're chayiv. So maybe there's room to rely upon. So basically right now you have all machlokas, Rav Meir and Chachamim, about a shul which does not have living quarters in it, whether it gets a mezuzah or whether it doesn't. A shul with living quarters in it, unclear where, but there is some mezuzah in such a building. Okay, so 1 second. So you're jumping both... So I'm going to add my next question for you. My next question for you is, why is a shul exempt from a mezuzah? So the Gemara seemed to indicate one reason is because it says Beisicha. It's not your house. It's our house. Our house does not... What do you say?
Then why would the
Beis Dira Chazin
make
it? Oh, so what's pshat? So one answer...
It's not just for a chazin, because in those days, shuls had place for people...
So good. And it does the Kiddush mess it up. So comes along Tosfos.
Would make sense for Rabbi Olbam Shul, because he owns the shul. He put up the
mezuzah. So comes along Tosfos. You guys are all running to Tosfos in Yuma and Tosfos in Megillah as well. So 1 second. It says that if you have a shul, if the whole source is Beisicha, the reason why our jointly owned shul is pater is because it says your house, and this is not your house, this is our house. So what about a shul which is privately owned? Rabbi Olbam, Rabbi Areli, many of the shuls in this neighborhood, Rabbi Spitalny, whatever, all many of this neighborhood, Rabbi Galanter, or whatever, Rabbi Savitsky, many of the shuls in this neighborhood, we were a maverick that we were a young Israel, where we're jointly owned. Many, many shuls, in Flatbush as well, are owned by an individual, right? A privately owned individual. There are no S corps, no LLCs. It's who knows what you give to tzedakah. I've had this issue with my tax account. It's not tax advice or legal advice. You have to make sure when you're giving money to these places that it's actually tax deductible, that it's actually going to a non for profit and not to some rabbi's pockets. That's a whole separate discussion. You want to talk about that offline. I'm happy to advise you or give you to people in my firm who do taxes. That's a separate discussion, but. Let's assume, even if the rabbi set it up as a non-for-profit and whatever, has got his own, whatever corporation dealing with it. Well, Maisa, all that money, he's the sole owner of that corporation or whatever it is, it's all going to him. It's his private house. Mezuzah or not a mezuzah. So according to the Tosos, and according to the Gemara that we just read, the simple explanation would be a privately owned shul needs a mezuzah according to everyone. Because why? Because it is?
Privacy.
What's the word? It's Beis Echa. It's yours. It's your house, right?
So it doesn't need to be somewhere you would live. to be a buyer.
So you have to go a two prong. Is it privately owned? If it's privately owned, yes, mezuzah. I'm assuming on the sanctuary itself. If it's not privately owned, it's jointly owned, you have to check, are there living quarters? And I'm leaving that very vague for now. Is there living quarters in the shul? If there's living quarters, then it sounds like it does get a mezuzah. If there's no living quarters, then the Gemara says no mezuzah.
How far is that? Because, like, let's say you own an office building. Like, is that...
So that's the subject. One second. I can't cover all mezuzah. I can't cover all mezuzah in one week. Yeah. I will definitely get to the office building.
I'm saying, how do you consider a shul but not an office building a Beis Avos?
That's a great question. What is considered Beis Avos? And you, in fact, are proving our entire, you and your sons right here, are proving our entire chabura, because what are you doing in this Beis Medrash room? You're drinking.
All right.
So now you're treating this, you're not treating this room like a shul. But you're drinking your coffee over there innocuously. It ain't so innocuously. Because what you're really doing is you're making this into something else. We'll get to that in a second. Oh, in a Beis Medrash. One second, you threw out different words than this chabura. We're going to get to you in a second. Comes along the Rambam. Rambam writes something else, totally different. Rambam says, Har Habayis. Should come back to it soon. Mirtz Hashem. Arbais, Halishkos, Vazaros, Ubate, Kinesios. You have all the Beis HaMikdash rooms and everything. And Shuls. Ubate, Midrashos. And a Beis Medrash. She'ain Behem Beis Dira. That don't have living quarters. Okay, that's like the Gemara. Piturin, their pater from Mezuzah. What do you want him to say in the next words? Mipnei, because? It's not Pesach. He doesn't say that. It says, Mipnei Shein, Lefi Shein, because they are Kodesh. It's holy. It already is holy, the Beis HaMikdash and the Shul. Therefore, it doesn't need a mezuzah. According to the reason of the Rambam, there's Rabbi Obam, there's Rabbi Arieli, there's Rabbi Spitalny, there's whoever, there's Rabbi Galanters. Do these Shuls need mezuzahs? Yes or no?
Well, don't all of those Shuls. The rabbi's house is attached to it.
So let's assume that there's no rabbi. Yeah, what about, so let's speak Rabbi Obam. So Rabbi Obam's a good example. Rabbi Obam's a better example then. So you take Rabbi Obam's shul. Again, first of all, let me just be clear that we're on tape in case anyone hears this. I'm absolutely zillion percent not passing at all for Chas V'Shalom or at all stepping into Rabbi Obam's shoes or mindset. Let's talk about a fictional shul, Rabbi X's shul. Yeah? So you got Rabbi X. I don't want anyone who listens to his tape here to Chas V'Shalom think I'm wading into territory which is definitely not my own. Yeah? And we're not at all. Chas V'Shalom 1,000 times. Elif Alpha Abdullah between me and Rabbi Obam. And so you have... Let's say a rabbi's got his a privately owned shul, yeah? But there's no living quarters. According to the Tosfos, that the reason is fully Beis Secha, so is it your house? So then, since it's your house, he would need a mezuzah in that shul. But according to the Rambam, Afishen Kodesh, because it's Kodesh, said even a privately owned shul would be putter from mezuzah. Why? Because... It's Kodesh, yeah.
Now, so when Rabbi X started his shul, it was in his house.
Ah, so does that change the fact? It becomes Ois Dira. It loses its Dira name. But in that location? Was it in that location?
It was next door.
It was next door. Okay, so I don't know. If it's next door, that gets a little bit confusing. If it's that room, if someone used to live there, now it's not a living, can something become an undira? Can something become undira? I don't know, but that's a whole chabur. That's an interesting topic. Yeah. What about above it? What about, hello, don't run to other shuls. We have living quarters. Right here we have living quarters. From what, our main thing? Who says it's a separate building? It's connected. Oh, come on, separate addresses? I don't know, because the government, I don't know if that considers a separate building. My friends, you don't go outside. It's this one big building.
It's one building originally.
Yeah, they built on right now. For people that were not around in the old times, you walk in here, this is one building, my friends. Don't kid yourself. I don't know what it's viewed for tax purposes again, but this is one building. This is all connected. You walk up and down. I know you ask any first grader, is this one building or two buildings? They can tell you it's one building. There's no doubt about that. So if we got a Beis Dira over here, do we need a mezuzah or not?
The last logic of it being Kodesh, the same kind of logic, we'll put that in quotes, that Korach used,
Oh, so is this a mezuzah? It's a great question. And I was thinking about that as well. We'll talk about that in a minute, because what about other places which which are similar to Karak? Karak was talking about a room which is all full of svarim, which we'll get to a little bit.
He was still saying it's not needed, because if you
correct. It's a great question. It's a great question. I don't fully know the answer to that. I was thinking about the same exact problem. I don't have a good answer for you. Says the Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin? So you open up a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, base knesses, im yesh bo dira, if a shul has a living quarters, l'shum adam. Look how broad that is. For anyone. That means even Mr. Roeda, maybe. If it's got a living quarters for anyone, yeah? Chayav b'mezuzah. It's chayav mezuzah. I don't know. Mr. Roeda, if I don't know the details, you can want to tell me. He didn't own that house, no? I don't know. I don't know, but he didn't own it at all. No, it's the shul owned it, right?
Yeah. The Shulchan Aruch just say it said if there is an apartment, it needs a mezuzah. It still hasn't said where.
Exactly. Comes along the Ramah, the next exact phrase. The im base dira be'azara shelifnei base knesses. If the living quarters, I don't know like what the Shulchan Aruch was talking about, they have the living quarters in the shul itself, maybe they just had like a cot in the shul for like the chazin, who would like the executive director. They had one room buildings, and the executive director had his bed and beside. So maybe that's what Shulchan Aruch was talking about.
I was reading some of these books on like the
old shuls, they had that?
Yeah, right? Like the Rabbanit, like the old Rabbanit, and they used to say that like, The elder Rebbeim, they used to go to like the back of the shul was like their quarters, so they didn't have to walk home at night.
So that could have been what Shulchan Aruch was talking about, yeah? Yeah.
At the time, in the old building,
yeah,
there was one guy,
yeah,
who used to, there was Beis Medrash,
yeah,
there on Kaddish, and there were rooms on either side. One guy actually slept in the room that was right next
right there. So it's interesting. Says Rama. The Rama is more sensitive to our modern built shuls. Says Rama, in base dira bazar shulf ne base kness, the room that he's living in is right before the base kness, it's not in the shul, then chaya hazara chayeves, then obviously that room is chayev, or base knesses potter. And the shul is potter. So all of a sudden you have a totally different ballgame over here. According to the Ramah, as long as the shul itself has no living quarters in it, it's pater. But every other room in the shul which has living quarters would be chayiv. So now it gets a little bit murky. What about our hallways? What about our kitchen? What about our children's classrooms? Do they need mezuzahs? Huh? Where they slept. Yeah, no. But yes or no? Need a mezuzah? It sounds like from Shulchan Aruch, they do. The only thing that would not need a mezuzah is something which is completely dedicated to davening. You with me so far? Now, what about privately owned?
So
I haven't said the word base medrash. You guys want to keep on throwing in the word base medrash. I'm up to that in 30 seconds. First, I got to tell you one more point. What's eerily absent from Shulchan Aruch is the privately owned Rabbi X's shul over here. Does Rabbi X's shul need a mezuzah or not on the sanctuary? So it's a little bit unclear.
From previous things that we learned,
yeah,
the reason for having the mezuzah,
yeah,
is the oneness of Hashem.
Yeah.
Then why does that matter if there's a million svarim? Why does that matter if there's a dira?
I hear you.
People?
This is kind of like Xeris HaKosov a little bit, because it says Beisecha. So if it says Beisecha, and it's just not Beisecha, you don't even have to get into alumnus. This just isn't your house. But if a rabbi owns it, and it's a private-owned shul, then all of a sudden it becomes Beisecha, so it should be included in the pasuk. So I don't care what the reason is, it should need a mezuzah. Oh, comes along with this.
It's specifically only used for davening. Does the fact that there's a...
Let's say a rabbi privately owns a one-room shul. It's only used for davening. Does it need a mezuzah or not? According to Tosos, the answer is it should need a mezuzah.
But you're finding the word Beisecha as his house, but if let's say he has a house that he lives in,
yeah,
then it's an investment, or it's
I hear you. So it's not really his house. I hear you. So that's an interesting svara. I hear you. I'm not sure about that.
What would be the other word then? That you own it.
Right. I don't know, like, you have to even, like, Meshecha, like, your Iker Beisecha. It doesn't say Mezuzos Iker Beisecha. It says Beisecha. So says Pischei Tshuva. He says that a privately paskin like Tosos, that a privately owned shul, the sanctuary itself, would need a mezuzah. Let's see if I can read it to you here. It says, Ayin Tosos, Shimaya Beis Medrash Yachid V'lo Shel Rabim Chayiv B'Mizuzah. He used the word Beis Medrash, but I don't think that's necessarily so dispositive. He says, V'chein Kasev Piskei Tosos Sham, V'chein Kasev B'Tferes Moshe. Sounds like if it's privately owned, it would need a mezuzah, even the sanctuary, even if no one lives there. So now let's go to our favorite topic that you keep on throwing in, the base medrash. But first I'm going to ask you, if you look around at many shuls do have a mezuzah. Yeah, I have to check. I'm going to give you homework. We're not encouraging you to go to other shuls, but if you happen to bump into one for a simcha or something, check. Oh, see, there you lived. See, every single shul in this neighborhood had a rabbi. I don't know why. Was it ever discussed by Fabian with Livier? Was that ever discussed? No, not at all.
Now about Ramosha in Hillcrest. Yeah. He owns that building. It's his.
Yeah, if it's owned.
He bought it as an investment, even. Like,
so if you own it.
Anywhere near there.
But if you own it, it sounds like, according to Piskei Tosfos, maybe it would need, and Piskei Teshuva as well, passings like this, you wouldn't need a mezuzah. Let me ask you a question. So why do many shuls have mezuzahs? You go around, there are many shuls. Our Chaim's main base medrash has a mezuzah. Many others have mezuzahs. No? So what's pshat? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Halacha Yud, Beis HaMedrash Pater Mimezuzah. A Beis Medrash is Pater Mimezuzah. Then he goes on and says, V'yei Shomrim, Beis Medrash Chayav B'mezuzah. Beis Medrash Chayav B'mezuzah V'nachon Lachosh L'dvrayim. You should put up a mezuzah on a Beis Medrash, but Avlo Yivarachoe. Don't make a bracha, yeah?
Very big mezuzah.
Humongous one. I said, I know Archaim. That's what I know. It's humongous. You can't miss Archaim. You can't even if you're not focusing. It's like half the size of the whole thing in the main base medrash. What's pshat they daven there? Says Shulchan Aruch, a base medrash needs. Why does a base medrash need a mezuzah according to this pshat? And, because you live there. Because what are you supposed to do during morning Seder? Take a nap, right? What are you supposed to do when you have coffee? You have your nap. You have your 10-minute schmooze. You have your schmoozing. You have everything in there. So a base medrash is living quarters, and therefore the halacha is a base medrash gets a mezuzah. So many posts want to say that's the reason why many shuls nowadays also have a mezuzah. Because let me ask you a question: who said kiddush at the beginning? You said kiddush. Someone here mentioned kiddush. You make Kiddush every Friday night. If you make Kiddush every Friday night, so then all of a sudden your nice little shul ain't really such a shul. You know what it is? A multi-purpose room. That's a great word, right? It becomes a shtickle Kiddush room. Your sucking candy's there? Yeah? Your kids have Cheerios running around? Absolutely. You have grape juice? You definitely have. People eat. People have water bottles. So all of a sudden, your shul is not really such a shul. According to that, many say a shul, even the sanctuary, even publicly owned, should possibly have mezuzah. Yeah.
Following up there, if you now categorize the Beit Midrash as living quarters,
yeah,
we then can go back in the Gemara where it says a shul that has living quarters in it.
Yep.
It still doesn't say where, but needs correct. A mezuzah. So if you were going to say a shul that has living quarters in it, the shul needs a mezuzah in the interpretation.
Yep.
And the Beit Midrash is that living quarters.
Yep.
Then every shul has a Beit Midrash at this point.
And every shul also has a main sanctuary, correct? Is what you're saying, is a base midrash. And according to that...
If we're going to living quarters that broad, not like...
a correct, 100%, which is why many shuls should have a mezuzah. I saw, just to be clear, I prepared a few years ago, but I was just updating my notes, seeing if there's any updated notes, and I saw that my wife's cousin, who runs Halachicpedia, which is a great website, you should check it out, Halachicpedia, he has a great marmakomos always, he has a shir by my rabbi, Rabbi Willig, on this topic, and apparently Rabbi Willig says, his shul does not have mezuzah, the main section. You know why? Because Rabbi Willig is machmid, there is no... eating in his main sanctuary. So if you're makbid, Rabbi Willig says that should be the proper halacha. Who says you had to eat? You're only allowed to eat because the reason we're going a circle in the chabura. The reason why you're allowed to eat is because really it's a base medrash and not really a shul. So if you're treating it as a shul and you're not really learning, how much learning goes on in our main sanctuary? Yeah, maybe 5 minutes here or there, maybe on yontif, but for the most part, the learning shiurim are not always in our main sanctuary. And so our main sanctuary is really a sanctuary. If you look, go by its looks, it doesn't look like a base medrash at all. It looks like a sanctuary. So if that's the case, it's a little bit hard to say, hey, to have Kiddush there Friday night. It's a whole separate discussion. I have had a drink there. And when the shul was built up, and when the shul was built out tonight, then it's really a base medrash. If that's the case, then, okay, very good. You're going to be fine on one side, you're allowed to eat there, but now you really need to put up a mezuzah. So my point as I'm going with this, as we close this out over here, is that you're really messed up either way you go over here. Because either it's a shul, or it's a base medrash.
So
yeah.
It's not for Kiddush, though. I think the shul frowns on eating.
Correct.
So if people are kind of sneaking in,
I don't know.
If someone said, are you allowed? Technically, you would say no.
It's a great question. I know where you're going there. Does it become a base medrash? I have no idea. Not a clue. Not a clue to answer that question.
None of this might matter, because if you consider this living quarters,
yeah,
then the shul needs it anyway.
Right, but so I think, according to the Rama, only the actual living quarters need.
Okay.
But that would mean any place that you eat.
Except for
but if you drink.
I'm with that,
yeah.
Because then you have a pshita.
Yeah.
Of course the living quarters needs it.
Yeah.
It's living quarters. So if it's going to mention.
I hear Beisach. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you.
It has to be talking about the shul.
I hear you. I'm a little. I hear you. I hear you. I'm not sure. Yeah, you need everything. Everything is for sure. The simcha room should have a mezuzah, I think. Again, I'm not passing everybody. Rosenfeld, you asked everybody. Rosenfeld, Pesach, Halacha. I'm just going to alert you what questions to ask. Now let's get into the sensitive final topic. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so now you got.
This room we
have. So now. Okay, so now I've got a. You thought this was controversial. Let's end with the most controversial. Okay? I don't know how risque I want to put this on the phone here. How much am I going to get in trouble with here? Should I turn off the thing for the last case? We'll say. But we'll leave it vague and you can use your imagination. I can give you the facts afterwards, what's going to happen. Fast forward 30 years from the shul, okay? And our shul rents out the shul during the week to a nusach, to a not nusach, a edut mizrach shul. Okay? So the tape's on still, yeah?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? That means that we use the shul for davening, and they use the shul during the week in the middle of the day for a base medrash. But there's no eating there. But they sleep in it because it's a base medrash for them. Yeah? They put their head down sometimes. They talk. Yeah? So for us, Ashkenazim, it's a shul. But for Svardim, it's a base medrash. And he put up a mezuzah because it's a base medrash, right? Also. Yeah? What? Oh, that's my question. Which way do you put up the mezuzah? Svardim put it differently. And what script? I mean, they have a different...
It's
a different writing.
It should be a no-brainer because...
No? Ashkenazi mezuzah? But if it's based on Ashkenazim only what in there? David. No? But if it no would not be Chaim Mezuzah. Says the poskim, Chaim Kanievsky as well, Rabbi Ganuth, you would need a Svarish posek. You need a Svarish Mezuzah over there. You need a Svarish Mezuzah. Because it's only Chayiv in Mezuzah because the Svarim are using the building. So there, it's a very, very interesting. And then that base medrash, the mezuzah, is going to have all the, you know, the hand on it, whatever they do, whatever they put on their mezuzahs, whatever, you know, all the Svardish emblems, you're going to have Svardish stuff over there, and that's what will come out. The final thing is, what about, in your shul, I'll be zocher to have this. Yeah, I'm still working on this. Maybe I could kick some of my daughters out of some rooms. I'll be zocher for this eventually, to have your private base medrash in your house. So you have all your svarim in your own private little room. No one's allowed to come in. No, does that room need a mezuzah or not? So again, if you're learning and davening in there, if you're treating and you're eating in there and you're sleeping in there, it becomes like a base medrash like that, then for sure you need a mezuzah. But some say, it's unclear if you need a bracha. Rav Nissim Kral said you could even put up a bracha on there because it's only a base medrash. It's in your house, your mamash, your house, it's a room. Then you would, it's besecha, you need even a bracha on such a mezuzah. The upshot of this chabura is I really think that the general consensus is, again, barring Rabbi Willig's hakpada not to eat in his shul, many shuls I think probably could and should have a mezuzah, but You don't make a bracha for sure not. And really, doors to the entrance of the shul way, again, I'm not sure, depending on how the doors are built, that's all a separate thing. There may not be a tzuris HaPesach, I don't know, we could go look. But, you know, really a shul to an entrance way to shul, I think should get a mezuzah, and definitely a simcha rooms and stuff like that. I think should need a mezuzah. I'm not sure if we have or what we do. Could ask Rabbi Rosenfeld, but for that is above my pay grade. Shkoyach, everyone.